Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In another lesson, we spoke of the responsibility of the elders to the congregation. And this time, we're turning that around. We're going to talk about the responsibility of the congregation to the elders. The church was established and organized by Christ. All the information that we have about the way the church is supposed to be founded and governed is that in the New Testament. Christ is the head of the church, and he has preeminence in all things to the church, Colossians 1:18. And the system of government is relatively simple. It is efficient when men will follow the Lord's plan. We read of there being elders in every church, Acts 14:23, as was true in Philippi, Philippians 1 and verse 1. The congregations were overseen by elders, they were served by deacons, they were taught by preachers and teachers, and every Christian was a part of the church, being a member of the body, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. Now this is the New Testament pattern for the government of the local congregation under the headship of Christ, and the authority that is granted by him to the apostles as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. Their teaching being now embodied in the inspired, authoritative, all-sufficient, infallible, and inerrant scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And those who serve in the capacity of elders and deacons, they are to be men, and men of certain specified qualifications. And these qualifications are revealed to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. Elders have duties both to God and to the congregation they oversee. There are various terms in the New Testament that denote them and their work, such as pastor or shepherd, elder, bishop, presbyter, and overseer. Their duties we have discussed in other lessons. The congregation, however, also has a responsibility to those who serve as elders. Serving as an elder and being a part of the eldership, that plurality of men who jointly oversee the congregation, it's one of the most awesome and sobering duties that a human being can undertake. And we must respect the magnitude of this work. We could only wish that all who are elders realized its significance, and we wish all members realized its significance. We could wish that all members considered the eldership as they ought. The Bible teaches that the elders shall give an account, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. The work of an elder is a work that is to be done, and Scripture calls it a good work, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. But just as the elders are to assume and discharge their work, the point we want to stress here, the congregation is also to meet responsibilities to the elders, because each Christian shall give an account of himself regarding these duties, as well as all of life, Romans 14:12 and 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. In 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, Paul wrote, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and a laborer is worthy of his reward." Now, elders are to be held with honor, even double honor. They not only should receive moral and spiritual support and esteem, but also supplied with physical and material support if it's needed as they do their work. If they're so provided, even as an ox is not to be denied the fruit of its labor, then elders would be allowed more time to devote their energies to the performance of their duties, especially the duty of attending to the matters of doctrine and the word. We sometimes forget that those who are elders usually have all of the individual and family duties that others have, plus the duties of being an elder. They must provide a livelihood for themselves and for their families, as do others, but they also expend much time and much work in caring for the congregation in all the ways that they are obligated to do. And while they deserve the respect and moral support when they serve, they ought not be forced to neglect any of this work because they have to expend themselves in lesser duties. Whatever they need to discharge their work as elders ought to be provided them by the congregation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13, Paul wrote, "And we beseech you, brethren,
to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. To know the elders that labor, it means more than just knowing their names in order to be able to identify them. I've even found many members of a local church who do not even know who the men are who serve as elders of the church. Now, this is a fault of the members that can be easily erased. It may be that some of the elders are so inactive that nobody takes notice of them and the fault lies with them, but knowing them means to have knowledge that they occupy such a place, and to understand their work, and then give recognition that they are serving in this most serious duty, respecting the duty that they perform. It means giving recognition that they serve the church, and then give recognition to the service that is rendered. It means that they are accepted by the members of the congregation they oversee. The very work they do demands special recognition to be given to them. It is wrong, friend, to ask a person to assume this work and to appoint him to the work, and then withhold from him what he needs, and to not work with them cooperatively in carrying out the work. That would be wrong on the part of the congregation. And this same passage says to esteem them highly in love. Now, this love is not favoritism. It's not simply a sentimental feeling toward them. This does not have reference to a personal affection, although that might be included. Many members really have an affection for the good men that lead them in spiritual pathways. It is rather, however, a love that seeks the elder's highest good, a love of him and for his wife and for his family, because of the sacred work that he's performing on the behalf of the whole congregation, work that's done on the behalf of others, and work that's done by the authority of Christ. This love must express itself in deeds as well as words. It calls for being helpful and responsive and cooperative and respectful, ready to carry out assignments, helping them carry out their duties. God expects members to help, not hinder. When the eldership is not running smoothly, it possibly is due to friction among themselves, but it is also often due to the lack of cooperation by the members of the church. We have heard how some brethren speak of their love for elders, but they do not lift their hand to assist them in expediting the work that the congregation undertakes. Love for the eldership stems from a love for the work overall, and respect for the work that God has elders to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 19, Paul wrote, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." Now, it is generally open season on preachers and elders, or anyone who assumes a task. Some people seem to think that they have some God-given right to take pot shots at whoever serves publicly, whenever they want to shoot, and they never feel obligated to know much about what they're attacking. I read a little statement recently that said that some folks leave no turn unstoned. Now, you read that correctly. You heard it correctly. Sometimes we hear the phrase, no stone unturned. Well, sometimes there's no turn that's unstoned. Regardless of the turn that's made, some will stone it. Such is often the burden of serving as an elder. Many good men have been hurt and their lives made painful because some careless member or members assume the right to dig and jab at them because they're the elders. Those who go to the front lines and into the foreground of the work as leaders must do things that sometimes make them targets of criticism. And often this criticism is done in love and done constructively, but too often it is done with malice by those who much prefer to talk against rather than to work with and work for the ones they criticize. They prefer to use cutting words rather than engage in constructive work. And they undermine with their talking. They do not seem to consider how they undercut authority even in the minds of the young and those outside the church. I've heard members severely berate preachers and elders in the presence of young people and in the presence of non-Christians. And friend, when such is done, should we be surprised that the young and the non-Christian would have no respect for the church? Now, to be sure, elders are not perfect in all that they do. But are we? Elders are subject to making mistakes, and their mistakes are very, very serious. They are subject to temptation just like others. Yes, they should be better able to handle it because they are to be selected from among the strong. But they are still just human beings, and they suffer from pressures just like other people do. This is one reason we believe God authorized a plurality of elders to form the eldership than the oversight of the congregation left to a one-man rule. It is not likely, although it is possible, that all the eldership will just simply go bananas at the same time. That's possible, but that's not likely. And brethren ought not be too quick to assume that elders are at fault unless there is verified testimony to that fact by witnesses. Criticisms are often made from evil motives and are not just. And when they are just and proven, Paul says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. Now this would apply to elders as well as to everybody else. But this is something that must be done very cautiously. Failure to treat an elder or the eldership properly and justly, and accepting whatever somebody says against them, is to do wrong. When differences arise with elders, they should be the first to know about it. Why tell everyone else? And preachers often make this mistake. They will even stir up rebellion sometimes against the elders before they confront the elders with their differences. It's not unknown for elders to be viciously criticized, and no effort made to either prove or correct the mistakes that are alleged. Preachers have certainly been treated this way also, and preachers sometimes have treated elders this way. And such has been the cause of many disturbances in the church, and it's shameful that such has ever existed. And how is the member to treat that elder? Well, let us begin with Matthew 7 and verse 12, that which is called the Golden Rule. Sometimes we wonder what happened to the Golden Rule among some brethren, seeing how they fight and claw and rip at each other. It should be applied in every relationship, including our treatment toward elders. Would you like your sincere efforts to be belittled and ridiculed, and your motives harshly judged and impugned, and your earnest desire to serve and do right to be scoffed and mocked? Would you want your family to be berated and accused unjustly as the topic of talk? Do you not realize that being in the spotlight, as all leaders are, that's difficult enough without someone hiding in the darkness trying to shoot you down? Many problems in the home and in the church would never have the air to survive if brethren believed and obeyed the golden rule of Matthew 7:12. We could possibly emphasize this passage and application of treatment toward elders to the extent that would conclude that this covers just about everything about the duty of the congregation toward an eldership. In Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 17, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Friend, we're to be mindful and thoughtful of our elders, especially regarding our deeds and attitudes toward them and the manner of life that we live. We owe it to them to make their labor as painless and successful as we can make it. Consideration for their feelings is proper. We must be attentive to them, giving heed to their lead. We have the duty to imitate their faith, like Paul called upon brethren to imitate him as he imitated Christ in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Now, to obey is simply to submit to their rule. They make decisions of judgment on the behalf of the local body. Now, this is part of the work of the elders. We should cooperate as best we can with those decisions. We should not cause the faithful elder grief as he does his work. We should strive to be a source of joy to him. Otherwise, it's unprofitable for us. And we have known some brethren who have been constant burdens to the eldership throughout all their lives. They are always a source of problems and antagonisms by the way they complain, they obstruct, or maybe by the lives that they live. Now, leaders cannot lead if followers will not follow. Since God expects leaders to lead, isn't it true that He expects followers to follow? Elders rule, the congregation should obey and follow. Elders are to feed the flock, the congregation should be willing to be fed and to cultivate an appetite for the sincere milk of the Word. The food is the meat of the truth, the milk of the gospel. Members should take advantage of the opportunity that the elders provide for the members to be fed God's truth. Yes, elderships have authority, a delegated authority, a limited authority, but authority to discharge their duties. They have no power to make or alter or legislate or compromise concerning the truth. They do have the authority to see to it that the word of truth is taught and defended and upheld and enforced with the work of the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's the way their work is expedited. Members should cooperate with them in seeing that all of this is accomplished. And members are expected to be as was Aaron and Hur when the Amalekites attacked Israel in the wilderness. Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses so the battle led by Joshua could be brought to a successful conclusion. As Moses held up the rod of God, Israel prevailed. When he became weary and the rod was lowered, Israel suffered setbacks. So Aaron and Hur held up his hands, and the victory belonged to all the people of God. We should hold up the hands of those who lead us. We realize surely that if elders go contrary to the truth, of course we're not to follow men, we're to follow God. And as in all matters of authority, whether it be in the home, parental authority, civil government, husbands, whatever, we must obey God rather than men, Acts 5 and verse 29. But in the matters of opinion and human judgment that affect the local church, elders have the duty to lead and members have the duty to follow. And to refuse to do so is to challenge God's government for the church. It is to dishonor the very ones that we're commanded to honor. In the many years that I've been trying to preach the gospel, I have never knowingly taken problems with the elders before the congregation to do battle with them openly without first confronting them with these matters, even in matters of doctrine as well as matters of opinion. In matters of opinion wherein we differed, well, we just simply have to let that pass. They're the ones in control. And sometimes it costs me dearly because some elders would not be considerate. But in matters of doctrine, I still showed respect to them at the first. I taught the truth and upheld the doctrine that some were contrary to living and doing. But I find this generally is the case with most preachers and members who take their faith and their work seriously. They will respect the elders. They respect the elders in their matters of opinion, and they expect the elders to stand firm in matters of the truth. Only in matters of thus saith the Lord is one justified in contending openly, and then that's because God's truth has been challenged. Yes, I think we can summarize the responsibility of the members to the elders by simply saying it is to love them and support them, to imitate them, to obey them, to submit to them, to honor them, to cooperate, and to treat according to the golden rule. Living is so as to add no burden but to bring joy to them. Peace and progress and faithfulness of a congregation, it depends upon all the members doing their duty to the elders as well as the elders doing their duty to the church. And after all, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We serve in different capacities, but each one doing what he can, we can help each other get to heaven. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.